Well, to begin with, I'd like to begin with a little supplemental word to last night's message. Basically, what I'd like to do is just present a little crystallized view of Philadelphia. I just long for all of us to have a sweet, loving appreciation for the church in Philadelphia. And to have a clear view that this is where the Lord has brought us. He's brought us into His recovery. And His recovery is to bring us back to what was there in Acts 2. In Acts 2, you had a church life that's so precious, so wonderful that the Lord produced through His death and resurrection and His outpouring. And when you look at the situation, where else do you find this? In Acts 2, you have this situation described. And they continued steadfastly. Amen. They continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. Who's continuing in the teaching of the apostles? The fellowship of the apostles. In the breaking of bread and prayers. And then later on it says, day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord. Amen. One accord. Amen. In the temple. And breaking bread from house to house. Where else do you see this happening? House to house. Well, it's here in Acts, right? They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart, praising God. Amen. Praising God. Amen. And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added together, day by day, those who were being saved. And of course, from that time, later on, the church deviated from the apostles' teaching. And eventually there's degradation in the church. And eventually there's the dark ages. And then you have the Lord coming in the 1500s to recover. To recover something, some ones that would move towards that line of the apostles' teaching. And the apostles' teaching is regarding God's economy for Him to get the church through Christ being dispensed into every one of us. Amen. He wants to dispense Himself into us to get the church. Amen. This is big. This is what He's after. This is the goal. He wants the church. Amen. The building up of the body of Christ, right? Well, Philadelphia is what the Lord used to prophesy concerning the desire of His heart. Here it is in Revelation, Philadelphia. Well, eventually, saints, what is Philadelphia? What is your view of Philadelphia? If I were to ask you, what do you appreciate about Philadelphia? You could say a few things, and I hope these are a few of the things you would say. Number one, the church of Philadelphia in Philadelphia is, it means what? Brotherly love. It's a situation altogether in brotherly love. And you know what the Lord already spoke to Ephesus. They had everything except one big thing. What was it? The first love. The first love. You can't bypass the first love. This is the absolute requirement. It's indispensable. We have to love the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're here. What are we doing here? Loving the Lord with our best love. Amen. We love Him above everything else. Well, in Philadelphia, that love, it flows. It's not just you loving the Lord, but when you love the Lord, you can't help but love the brothers. Amen. You know, like the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. What? Feed my lambs. The life just flows. So in the church in Philadelphia, it's a place that's beautiful to the Lord. It's beautiful to the Lord because they're there in the oneness of the triune God. They're there in the love of God, and the love is flowing between one another. And it's in this condition of love, there's something happening. What is it? The one who's the true one. The Holy One. Hallelujah, the Holy One is speaking to Philadelphia. He's the Holy One. And what is He doing? In this condition of love, He's imparting Himself. He's dispensing Himself. He's permeating the church in Philadelphia with Himself. Amen. Till Philadelphia just matches Him. Amen. Why does He love Philadelphia? It matches Him. Amen. It's holy like He's holy. Amen. It's loving like He's loving. Amen. And when you look at all the verses, you see how important it is that the Lord would get this kind of a situation of love. Listen, in John 14, 23, the Lord said, if you love Me and you keep My word, My Father will love you and we will come and make an abode with you. Wow, doesn't that sound good? Think about it again. If you love Me and you keep My word, My Father will love you. He'll love you. What does He love? He loves those that love Him. Amen. Love the Lord and keeps His word. And then what does He do? He will come and make an abode with you. This is where He finds His home. This is where He finds His rest. So in Philadelphia, He finds His rest, His satisfaction, because there are those that are loving Him. And what? Keeping His word. You know, Philadelphia, they have a little power. A little power. Mainly, you know what that little power we need to be doing? Keeping the word. Amen. Keep the word. Let's all say that. Keep the word.
Keep the word.
Number one, love the Lord.
Love the Lord.
Number two, keep the word.
Keep the word.
And don't deny His name.
Don't deny His name.
Tell your neighbor, don't deny His name.
Don't deny His name.
Love the Lord.
Love the Lord.
Keep the word.
Keep the word.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
This is Philadelphia. And saints, you don't realize, ones have paid a price to continue this line of Philadelphia. You know, though the brethren fell short, even the brethren themselves, they fell to Laodicea, the Lord still has a line of Philadelphia through the brothers in the early 1900s, through our brother Watchman Nee, through Brother Lee. They stood on the line of what? The apostles' teaching. They just gave us apostles' teaching. They presented us God's economy to dispense Himself into us for the building up of the church. And what has the Lord done? He has recovered what? Philadelphia. Hopefully we would all love this line of what? Philadelphia.
Amen.
So if I ask you now, what is Philadelphia to you, Eric Romero? Stand up and tell us. I mean, just in your heart, what is Philadelphia to you? Amen.
What the Lord desires.
Amen.
What's on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
Oh, it's ones who love the Lord. Keep the word.
Amen.
Not deny His name.
Amen.
A little power.
Amen.
Hold fast.
Amen.
Overcome.
Amen.
Make us Philadelphia.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all say amen.
Amen.
Hold fast what you have.
Amen.
This is where we are today in the Lord's recovery. We desire to be Philadelphia. And you know, for the new ones to come among us, this is what they want to see. Because the Lord wants to see this. And they respond to a situation where there's brotherly love. They can't help it. They realize there's something special here. Because the Lord is among us. He's among us. His presence is with us. His rich speaking is with us. Right? We know He's with us. There's an open door to the Lord's recovery. Unlike anything else going on the whole earth. Don't pay attention to all the big things going on. Listen, the Lord has something precious that He loves. And He's going to make sure everyone knows it. The day will come, they will know He has loved Philadelphia.
Amen.
Is that good? Good job, Eric. Does anybody else want to declare something similar? Looking around. Everybody's putting their heads down. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's go on to the message for this morning. This morning we come to something that's concerning the human spirit, and this is discerning the spirit from the soul. Hallelujah. How do you discern the spirit from the soul? You know, let's just look at the outline. Let's go through this a little bit, and then I'll give some examples. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 1. The Spirit being concealed in the soul as the marrow is concealed in the joints. And let us read 2. The soul, needing to be broken from the spirit, may be divided from it as the joints need to be broken that the marrow may be divided from them. Now that sounds kind of strange, but the key here is this verse, Hebrews 4:12. And in Hebrews 4:12, I think we're all familiar with this, and that is, for the word of God is living and operative, sharper than any two-edged sword, but piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, right? Something like that. Y'all, you got it memorized? And what?
Able to discern the thoughts.
Yeah, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Well, it's this verse kind of, if you go to Hebrews 4, you wonder, what is this verse doing in this section? Hebrews is a book written to the Hebrew believers who were shrinking back to the old religion. They were staggering. And the writer wanted them to come forward. They needed to get out of there and get on to the good land, in a sense. And to the writer, the feeling was, these believers, they are wandering in their soul, just like the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. So he has this, the thought, when you look at the context, you know, there's a Sabbath rest. There's a rest for the people of God. And it's in Canaan. It's in the good land. But the Hebrew believers, he likened them to the children of Israel back there in the wilderness, kind of wandering around in the wilderness and not going on into the good land. Do you see that? So his desire was, I've got to get them to come forward. Not shrink back, but what? Come forward to the good land, to the Sabbath rest, to the Spirit. It's really what he was talking about. So that's in the middle of this description of coming forward, you know, to enter into the Sabbath rest. He says something like, a verse like that, for the Word of God is living and operative. What you need is the Word of God that's living and operative, and it'll do something. It'll operate on you. It'll work to divide your soul from your spirit. Just like the marrow is in a bone, in the middle of a bone. The bone has to be broken to get to the marrow. Right? So, what? Our soul needs to be divided from our spirit. You don't know what your spirit is. You don't know where your spirit is. You're just wandering in your soul. This is the picture there. So what is needed to get to the Spirit? What is it? What is needed is to find the Spirit concealed, enveloped in our soul. So in point 3, you see, the composition of the soul is the mind, emotion, and will needed to be denied. And we're clear about that, especially in the next point. I'll just read that. The denial of the mind, emotion, and will is actually the denial of the self. And here you have the verses from the Lord in Matthew and Luke, which say, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny him what? Self. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Okay, we're familiar with these verses. And actually, when you look at this, these are things like, I don't like hearing this. Deny the self. Ugh. This is tough. Take up the cross daily. It's bad enough. Take up the cross. Now take up the cross daily. And follow me. So to deny the self, what is the self? The self is just the soul. And the soul, what are the parts of the soul? I think you've all covered this. What are the three main parts of the soul? Mind, emotion, and will. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 5, right? It's very clear. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. And the Lord says, if you want to follow me, if you want to come after me, do you want to come after me?
Amen.
Do we want to come after Him?
Amen.
Yes, we want to come after Him. Well, there's just a little bit of a price to pay. A very simple price. What is it, Sam? Deny the self. Hallelujah. Do y'all like hearing words like this? Come on, Caleb, you love it. Do you want to come after the Lord? Yes. Look at Him, you guys. I like that portion because of the first statement. If anyone wants to come after me, I want to come after him. If you want to come after him, you know what? If you see him, if you know him, if you care about him, you know what's on his heart, you know what? Do whatever he says. What does he say? Deny yourself. Amen. Deny the self. Pick up the cross and what? Follow what? Me. Don't you like that? Do you want to come after me?
Amen.
Then what? Deny the self. Pick up the cross. And what? Follow what? Me. I like to make things look a little better than it really is. Me. Deny the self. Yeah. We could just say, what if we just said, deny the self. Pick up your cross. It's just, that's kind of asceticism almost. But we have one that we're after, and it's our dear, wonderful Lord Jesus. And this is what He said, and this is what we say amen to. He says, you need to deny the self. Now, what is the self? The self, you know, the self is just our soul with all those parts, the mind, emotion, and will. And just think about it. Does your mind, you know, with all the thoughts, the opinions and preferences, do they need to come after the Lord? Are they qualified to really be one with the Lord? Think about all your thoughts, all your opinions, your preferences. I mean, Peter told the Lord his opinion. And what did the Lord tell him? Get behind me, Satan. How about that one? You have an opinion about what I should do? Let me tell you. Get behind me, Satan. He knew what was coming out of Peter then was not, it was just Satan. It was something of his opinion, something of his thoughts. Same thing with all of us. We treasure our thoughts, we treasure our opinions, we treasure our preferences so much. But listen, to follow those, the Lord, we need to lay those aside. Same thing with our emotion. We have feelings, we have things we like, things we dislike. We love and we hate. And sometimes we hate, sometimes we love. Today I like David, tomorrow I don't like David. Even sometimes we hate ourselves and we hate our mother and our dad and we hate our car and we hate everything. The whole world is, we just hate everything. Does the Lord want us to come after Him with all that baggage? Listen, this is a frustration. These are our emotions. They're so up and down. And actually our emotions are ones full of love for other things, even idols. You know? Then you have your will. What about our will? Our choices, our decisions. You know, we choose all kinds of other things other than the Lord. Even while we're praying, we may be choosing something else. Maybe we're thinking something else, you know, like, I remember one day I was praying and I was just sitting there praying and then I noticed something on the floor. I thought, now, how did that get there? And next thing you know, what am I doing? You know, just choosing to go take care of something else in the middle of prayer to the Lord. We're a mess. We're a mess. We need to deny ourselves. Amen. The Lord requires this. And this is wonderful though. Because when we deny ourselves, what happens? We'll get to it later, I think. In point five. Let's go ahead and read five as well. The living and operative Word of God, exposing and discerning the thoughts of the mind, the intents of the will, and the desires of the emotion. Okay, then point six altogether. After the breaking of the soul, the denial of the mind, emotion, and will whatever is left being the Spirit. So saints, whenever we deny the self, what we need to realize, there's someone there. There's someone still here. David Tang, the brothers love it when you deny yourself. You know why? Because when you deny yourself, there's someone else there. Who is it? Christ. It's Christ. When we deny ourselves, what's left? Christ. The most wonderful person in the universe is there. Listen, my wife loves it when I deny myself. I'm the most wonderful person. Likewise, I like it when she does the same thing. She's the most wonderful person in the universe. But when we're in our soul and in ourself, all kinds of problems, all kinds of problems, opinions, preferences, choosing all kinds of other things, loving all kinds of things. Our heart is just sticky. It just sticks to the world. Just goes this way, that way. Listen, our self is fallen. Our self needs to be denied. Amen?
Amen.
But don't think when we deny ourself, there's not something wonderful happening. It's death to the self, but then there's someone living, a wonderful person. If you're an unbeliever, and I tell you, you need to deny yourself, then what? And if they deny themselves, what's left? Nothing. There's nothing. So you can't tell them to you need to deny yourself. But if they want to come after the Lord, amen. Deny yourself, come. Here's what I want to get to, saints. I want us to appreciate to begin with that there is a living person living inside of us. Right? In 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it's clear, Jesus Christ is in you. In Ephesians 4:6, the Father's in us. Romans 8:10, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is within us. We have the triune God in us. Now then, the question is, and also you have 2 Timothy 4:22, the Lord is with your spirit. So, we know He's in us, but where is He? What's the location? What's the residence? You know, if you want to find me, you know, you want to come visit me. You want to spend time with me. You want to be with me. You want to live with me. You know what? You need to come to where I live. You need to know my address or you won't find me. What's my address? 11267 Montana Avenue, Los Angeles, California. That's where I live. You want to visit me? You have to come there, right? The same thing with the Lord Himself. We need to find out where is He? Where is His residence? How do I get to Him? Do you want to get to the Lord?
Amen.
You need to find out where is He? Well, we see from all that we've seen so far, He's concealed. He's hidden deep within our being. He's concealed in our soul. Our soul is a big envelope surrounding our spirit. And where do we need to go? If we want the Lord, where do we need to go? We need to get to our spirit. So how do we discern between our soul and our spirit? Well, the first big point we have here is what? We need the Word. The Word exposes us. It lets us know where we are. It lets us know what is the soul and what's the spirit. You enjoy the Lord in the Word. Right away you have a sense. You have a sense what is not the spirit. And what is the Spirit? You know, there was a young man I've shared this before. I used to read the Bible with him. He's a high schooler. And I'd read the Bible to him a couple days a week at night. And he would... We'd have a wonderful time in the Word. And then every now and then, I'd call him. He wouldn't answer. And this is later in the evening, like 10 or 10:30 when we did this. And then later on, I checked with him, where were you? You know, what happened? You didn't pick up. He said, well, truthfully, I had a party to go to that night. And I knew that if I read the Word with you, I would go to the party. And I said, how do you know that? He said, well, the last time The last time I wanted to go to a party and I read with you. And after I read, I just didn't want to go. I just wanted to stay home. I just had no taste for that party. And so he figured out, well, the next time, I don't want that to happen to me. I got to get to the party. So I better not read the Bible with Ken Walker. So I realized when he didn't answer, I knew what was going on anyway. But I also realized the Word is powerful. It divides your soul from the spirit. He was just stuck in his spirit. Hallelujah. Forget his soul life. It just got laid aside. Let's just go on, and then I'm going to go back over some of this. Point 7, setting the mind on the Spirit. We're clear about this verse, Romans 8, 6. Is that what it really should say down, not what yours says, 8, 6b? The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And then regarding this, to set your mind on the Spirit, you know, it's like, how do you do that? Charles, how do you set your mind on the Spirit? Just do it, brother. Come on. Set your mind on the Spirit. It seems so cold. But you know, something that I really appreciate, saints, I appreciate very much that the one who lives in us is, what we're talking about here, and what I like to see, and I'm just trying to be really practical here, and that is, we're not after just a mere technical exercise. I hope we would have some realization. There is a wonderful person, the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who is now the life-giving Spirit. He is residing and dwelling in my spirit. When we set our mind on the Spirit, it's to turn, our mind is the leading part of our soul. Our mind is where our personality is. You know, your mind, you know, if you're into games all the time, you're getting pickled with all that. And you know what? The mind, when you touch that mind, it's the personality. You know, next thing you know, they're going to be a game. You know, they just become what they eat and drink. They're thinking game. You touch them, they're just a game. They don't know what reality is. That's just an example, and I'm probably being too much. But, you know, it could be sports. If that's all you think about when we touch you, your thinking is it leads you. You know, if you're in a meeting and all you're thinking about is a basketball game after the meeting, you know, what do you think you're going to do after the meeting? You're heading right to the court, right? We use the example of ice cream. If you're in Texas and you know anything about Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream, if you're thinking about it at any point in time, next thing you know, you're heading over to get some. But I mean, this happened the last time I went to Texas. I got there and I started thinking about it. Oh yeah, Texas is where they have the Bluebell. Oh, I haven't had it in so long. Where can I get it? Oh, my daughter doesn't have it. I've got to borrow a car. I got to get over to the store. And off I went. I just followed my thinking. My thinking directed my whole being. You think about it, and what happens? Your emotions get stirred up. Next you think, I love Bluebell. I can taste it. And then what follows is your will. Your will chooses what your mind is thinking and what your emotions are loving, right? So off you go. So our mind is the leading part of our being. Well, our mind, we need to direct our mind to where? To the wonderful person in our spirit.
Amen.
He's there. He's there. He's deep down in our spirit. But we have to fight. We have to fight to get to our spirit. And that's because there's something, again, the soul is there in the way. The Word is the biggest thing to help. And I would say there's some other things that help. You know, I remember when I was at the Baptist Student Union in college with the Baptists, and I was with the Charismatic Pentecostal there, but, you know, mostly the Baptists. There was something that happened. We went into a little room, And we started praying, and someone turned off the lights. And we just kept on praying. And next thing you know, all these Baptists that they don't praise the Lord, next thing you know, we're praising. And then there's praising. And we got louder and stronger. We were praising the Lord. And you know what? It's like we found the switch. We found our human spirit. Nobody knew they found it, but they like, bump. You know, they bumped into the switch, and all of a sudden, they were electrified by the divine spirit within. They found their spirit. I found my spirit. Afterwards, we would look at each other. We turned the lights back on. What happened? We didn't know what was going on. What do we do? I don't know. Brothers, let's just go preach the gospel. So we went on the campus, preached the gospel. That's spontaneous. But the point is, in that experience, I realized praising the Lord brings us to our spirit.
Amen.
You want to find your spirit? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
To praise the Lord is to turn away from yourself. I mean, really. Nathan, isn't that right? When you praise the Lord, you've got to go against yourself. Go against yourself right now, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. It's good to go against ourselves. Deny it. Forget about it. Lay it aside. You know, the other thing that is precious to me, and this was mentioned in the first meeting, and that is what Craig mentioned. Overcomers, what do? They turn. They turn their heart to the Lord. On one hand, we're turning our heart to the Lord. But when we turn our heart to the Lord, what's happening? Okay. David, stand up. Come forward. Okay. Here's David. He wants to turn to the Lord. And you know what? Right now, though... Oh, I need another brother. Come on. Okay, come up. See if I can figure this out. Okay, David has a big self. And it's hanging all over him. But you know what? He has a wonderful person inside. It's the Lord.
Amen.
And he's here.
Amen.
He's in his spirit.
Amen.
But there's something in the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what? He's turning. David, you need to turn your heart to the Lord. You need a little bit more, brother. You need to... Are you turning? I don't hear you calling. I don't hear you praying. Are you singing? Are you praising?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, amen. Keep on. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Basically, it's a crude example. But the point is, we have to get through the soul.
Amen.
We have to deny the soul, lay aside the soul. I should have had him get out of here. He's turning to the Lord. Listen, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? To turn your heart to the Lord is to turn away from yourself. It's to deny yourself. Anytime you pray, you praise, you sing, what are you doing? You're turning. You're turning away from King me, King I, the old self, the old thoughts, the old feelings, the old choices. You're making a choice. And what is your choice? Lord, I'm turning to you. Lord, I deny the self. I lay aside the self. I lay aside my thoughts. I lay aside my feelings. In the morning when you wake up, do you feel like, oh, I get to enjoy the, I'm so happy. Agape, I know, Agape, do you wake up joyful? No. She's not a morning person, are you? There's certain ones, they're just not morning persons. Maybe she's not an evening person, I'm not sure. Anyway, we just don't wake up feeling like I just need the Lord. I just love the Lord. We have to lay aside ourselves every morning. especially every morning. We have to get out of ourself. We got to deny the self. Pick up the cross. And what? Follow Him. Where is He? He's in our spirit. He's in our spirit. Saints, it's not just a, it's not like, oh, I've got to turn to some mysterious, I don't know what, you know, my spirit somewhere down in there. Listen, it's a wonderful person who is now the life-giving spirit, who's joined to our spirit. We have a mingled spirit. He's one with us. He'll never leave us. He's always there. The problem is we've got this big soul that we've been living in all our life. And we've been feeding it and promoting it and taking care of it. And now the Lord has done something in all of us to follow the Lord. I want to come after Him. I want Him. So what do we need to do? We need to have a life of what? Turning to the Spirit. Turning deep within. Now then, I want to go back to that example of the children of Israel. And I don't know if you got into it, but maybe I can use another illustration real quick. And that is, there's three examples to help us to see that the Spirit within us is really hidden and concealed. We have to get to the Spirit. And the Spirit is deep within our being. And it helps to see from the examples. Well, first of all, we do know our being is of three parts. And let's just say out here is the body, here's the soul, and the spirit's over here, okay? Body, soul, spirit, okay? Now then, you're here standing in the middle as the soul, okay, David? You're in the soul. Stand up, in the soul. Sorry, soul. He's a soul man, right? He needs to get to me. He needs to get to the Spirit. Well, that's one example. The other example is, stand out there. Now he's in the outer court. You have the body, soul, spirit, and you have the temple. You know, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the temple has three parts. It has the outer court, then what? Here's the holy place, and here's the Holy of Holies. Now, where does he have to go? You need to get to the Holy of Holies. Come on. Come on all the way to the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Okay, so now he's with the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Now then, there's also the example that he's in Egypt. There's Egypt. That's where the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. But then they got led out of Egypt through redemption, baptism, and now where are they? In the wilderness. Come on into the wilderness. Now then, in the wilderness, where is he? It's like our soul. He's like, and he's like the holy place, but it's not the Holy of Holies. Where does he need to get? He needs to get all the way over to where? To Canaan, the good land. So he has to come forward. Come forward to the good land. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, good. Go. So, of course, the main verse that's used here is Paul used this matter of the Word of God. It'll divide your soul from your spirit. It'll help you to see where is the Spirit. It just shines on us. You know, it's similar to that verse. I thought of that verse anyway, in Psalm 119, where it says the entrance of your Word or the there's another one. Yeah, but there's another word for it in the recovery. Yeah, the opening. Opening or the entrance of your word gives what? Light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Listen, when the word comes, it's enlightening. It lets you know where you are. And you find out that's just my natural mind. Oh, that's just my emotion. That's just my stubborn will. We're just stubborn. And we find out where the Spirit is. We just find ourselves there. We find ourselves in the Spirit. We find ourselves where? In the good land. We find ourselves in the Holy of Holies. The Word is so key to this, right? Then, let's see, I wanted to give another example. Yeah, I was thinking of those verses in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. You remember those? Those verses talk about being filled in spirit. He says, be filled in spirit. Now, do you want to know how you want to find your spirit? Do you want to discern your soul from your spirit? I mentioned the matter of what? Praising. When you're praising, you know what you find? Yourself gets denied and you find your spirit. What happens when you sing? He promised. We're filled in spirit, what? Singing. Singing and psalming with our heart to the Lord. And you notice that with our heart, what? To the Lord. Not just singing, but our heart to the Lord. In all our singing, saints, we need to not get too carried away in a certain extent. All our singing, you know, sometimes we can bring the soul into our singing, into different things we do or the way we sing, and the soul, we're not already there. It's easy to pick up the soul, but we need to fight through all the way to what? Be filled in spirit.
Amen.
We're not just singing, but we're singing and we're being filled in spirit.
Amen.
We're being brought into another realm where the Lord is. We're being brought into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
We're being brought into the divine and mystical realm of our spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Singing brings us there. Amen. Even according to the footnote, listen, it's not only a result. When you're filled, you sing. On the other hand, he said, when you sing, you get filled in spirit.
Amen.
And not only that, you give thanks. You know, the verse after that says, giving thanks. When you give thanks, you know what happens? You get filled in spirit. You may not be ecstatic, but you find your spirit. When you subject yourselves to one another, someone asks you to clean the bathroom, and you say, amen. Good word. You know what happens? You find your spirit. There's a peace, there's a joy, there's a rest within our spirit. The other thing is this. This is the last thing I want to point out. And this is in the Economy of God, chapter 10. And that is this matter of digging the heart, digging the inward parts of our being. In Numbers, the children of Israel, there was a point in which they dug the wells. Even the Israel, they sang, spring up, O wells, spring up. And the nobles would dig these wells that were full of dirt. And they dug, and what happens? Water sprung up. Well, actually, I'm just taking this from another angle. You know, in John 7, the Lord said, come to me and drink. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Then he said what? Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And then later on, he said concerning the Spirit. So the rivers of living water are just the Spirit within our spirit. The Lord Himself as a Spirit who's come inside of us, what is He? In one sense, He's a river of fountain. He's a river of life.
Amen.
There is a river of life in us.
Amen.
Out of your innermost being will flow what?
Rivers
of living water. This He said concerning what? The Spirit. The Spirit. Do you have the Spirit?
Amen.
We have the Spirit.
Amen.
And the Spirit is what? It's a river.
Amen.
I like to declare in your spirit there's a river.
Amen.
There's a river of water of life. Tell your neighbor, you have a river. And the river is in your spirit. Amen. But the problem is, part of our exercise, and maybe you've already shared this, I don't know, in some of the other meetings. Have you? I don't know. Saints, we need to dig. We need to dig away the dirt that keeps the Lord from flowing. So often, we can't find our spirit because there's too much dirt. The dirt in the soul. There's dirt in our conscience. There's dirt in our heart. Our heart is after other goals. It's after other things. I want this and I want that and I want this. And our heart is so sticky after other things of the world. And you wonder why there's no flow. I can't find my spirit. Well, you know what? The water is down below the dirt. The spirit is down below the soul with all the dirt that's blocking the flow. Does that make sense? We need to dig our heart. Lord, my heart, Free my heart to love You supremely. I want a pure heart. I can really see You. Enjoy the flow of life. Sometimes it's our mind. Our mind just travels all over the place. Our mind is not sober. Our mind is imagining this and imagining that, thinking about this. Lord, deal with the dirt in my thoughts. Lord, I want Your mind. I want my mind renewed. I want the Spirit to get into my mind. Lord, may the Spirit move into my thinking. Deal with the Lord concerning your thoughts. Because you know what? Those thoughts are a lot of dirt that keep you from finding your Spirit, finding the flowing. Listen, if you deal with the Lord just a little bit regarding your thoughts, you know what will happen? You'll get wet. Hallelujah. You'll start, there'll be a trickle. There'll be something starting to flow in your being. Then deal with your emotions. All the things that you love, all your feelings, all your hates, your dislikes. I don't like this one. I like that one. Deal with the things in your emotions. It's dirt keeping us from finding and locating the Lord in our spirit. The water is there. Hallelujah, the water is there. Tell your neighbor, the water is there.
The water is there.
I just want you all to be aware there's water. The Spirit is the water within. Anyway, we need to dig away the dirt. Dig away. Lord, dig away. Our will is so stubborn. It's time to go to a meeting. We're just stubborn. No, I'm not going. I'm just not. Or it's all kinds of things. Someone wants to pray. I don't want to pray. You're not willing to sacrifice. Just stubborn. You're not willing to give in to anybody. Our will is just so... It doesn't choose the Lord. And it doesn't choose the body. It doesn't choose the other members. Our will needs to be dealt with in the Lord's presence. And as we deal with the Lord in His presence, you know what happens? Hallelujah. There's the water flowing. Hallelujah. We dig away the dirt. Dig away. What do we find? We find our spirit.
Amen.
We find there's water here.
Amen.
Does that make sense, saints? There's water in us. When you look at all the saints, just realize Abraham has water. Well, Abraham needs to realize, I've got water. You may not feel like it. Sam, do you have water? The other day, a bunch of came gushing out. We all got wet. Hallelujah. Well, listen, we need to always be fighting for our spirit. And that includes digging away the parts of our being that has all this dirt that's keeping the Lord from flowing. But He is a river of water of life flowing within us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And saints, praying it every time in spirit. When we pray, prayer brings us. We need to pray until we find ourselves all the way in our human spirit. One with the Lord. It's kind of like in Matthew where the Lord said, when you pray, go into your private room and what? Shut your door. To me, to deny the self means shut the door. Let's all say that. Shut the door.
Shut the door.
Say no to the self.
No to the self.
Deny the self.
Deny the self.
I'm going to enjoy the Lord right now.
I'm
getting into His presence. Oh, I shut the door.
No to the self.
I'm after the Lord. Saints, we're all learning. We just have to keep practicing. Keep practicing to discern our spirit from our soul. Realizing our soul just needs to be laid aside. Deny it. Then we get to the Spirit. There we find the living water. There we find the living message. Praise the Lord. We get a living person.
Amen.
Amen.